One of the nominees for this week's Winner of the Week is really, really cute. Here to tell us who is Jeff Colton, the staff reporter for City and State. Hey, Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Susan.
So tell us what you know about Captain Cutie.
You know, it's so funny that the Governor Cuomo happened to find an adorable dog the very week that his old aide, Joe Prococo, was on trial.
Isn't that
what a coincidence?
Remarkable, yeah.
But, wow.
What are you suggesting, Jeff?
Well, it really paid off because Captain Cuomo, this adorable northern Inuit puppy, has gotten more press coverage than pretty much anything else this week. Everyone's written an article about him, and who am I to not discuss this adorable puppy? So it succeeded in moving the attention away from bad things and on to things that we can all agree with.
And he's mansion training, this pup. Not house training, mansion training.
That's one of the benefits of living with the governor.
There was a, occasionally this happens where the primary election day falls on a holiday, a Jewish holiday or something else, and it needs to be changed. And there were a couple lawmakers who were on the winner's list because they did effectively change it. Who are they?
That's right. We political reporters get excited about some pretty basic things. And I am so excited about a Thursday election day coming up in September. It's going to be on Thursday, September 13th, assuming Cuomo will sign the bill, I'm sure he will. But a couple of Brooklynites joined together, Assemblyman Bobby Carroll and Senator Simca Felder. They sponsored a bill to move the primary election day from September 11th, which also was Rosh Hashanah, onto September 13th, which has nothing bad associated with it or no Jewish holidays.
The bar is set so low for political reporters and what makes us happy. But let's move on to losers. Andrew Cuomo is on the losers list, so not even Captain Cuomo could prevent that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, speaking about things that make reporters happy, this was a really big week for the polls. The Quinnipiac University poll came out, the Siena College poll came out, and, you know, all of them were pretty bad for Andrew Cuomo. His approval ratings are going down. The New Yorkers are not happy with what he's doing with the MTA. They think that Cuomo's part of the problem on ethics reform. And just to twist the knife, most New Yorkers don't think Cuomo should run for president. Mm. So he can't be very happy.
Todd Howe is on the losers list. No surprise there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he probably, I'm no lawyer, but he probably should have pled the fifth. He admitted to breaking the law on the stand during Joe Prococo's trial. And then that night, Todd Howe actually got arrested and was sent to jail. He admitted to basically lying and about a stay at a fancy hotel, I believe it was the Waldorf Astoria, lying to his credit card company, saying, no, I never stayed there. This was enough for the feds to arrest him again, and it's just tough.
Yeah, I am, like, panicked if somebody thinks I didn't change the toilet paper roll. I can't imagine trying to get away with not paying for your hotel room. But anyway, finally, Kathy Sheehan is on the loser's list. She's the mayor of Albany. Why is she there?
Look, I mean, you know, Albany has a lot of benefits. It's great to be the seat of government in the capital, but it's also expensive. And Kathy Sheehan is asking the state once again for a little extra aid just to help out her city budget. And in Cuomo's latest budget, it's not there. The money she wants, $12.5 million extra dollars. And, you know, she asked for the same thing last year, and eventually she got it. But this year, it's you know, she's going to have to fight again for that extra state aid.
It's just a constant fight. Visit cityandstateny.com. Jeff Colton is a staff reporter for City and State. It's great to speak with you. Thank you again.
Thanks a lot.
It was a week jam-packed with news, and joining us to make sense of it all is the one, the only, Glenn Blaine, reporter for the New York Daily News up here in Albany. How are you?
Fine, Susan. How are you?
Good. So I wanted to talk to you about a few things. The Siena poll, the Prococo trial, de Blasio and Cuomo still not getting along, even though they agree
about a lot of things.
Shocking,
isn't it? Shocking.
Yeah. Where do you want to begin?
You are the host of the show. You can set the agenda, Susan.
Okay. Why don't we talk about this Siena poll, which Jeff referenced? It wasn't a great poll for Governor Cuomo, but how seriously does a politician in February need to take this poll?
With a grain of salt, I think. It was not a good poll for the governor. and it comes off a poll just a month ago that was probably the best he's had in a while, and all of a sudden he's dropped. This comes as your last guest just mentioned or was talking about the trial of Joe Prococo, his top aide, and there's a lot of bad headlines coming out of that.
Yeah.
The Cuomo administration had a different spin on it, though, as you might think. They kind of blamed it on national trends that, you know, the Democrats had a bad month with the government shutdown and other things going on in Washington, and they kind of pegged just their decline on kind of a general decline for Democrats across the nation.
That's interesting. We had a guest on Wednesday, Bruce Giori, mm-hmm. Who, you know, is like the professor of polling. His take was that the Siena poll actually underweighted the black vote. But then again, the Quinnipiac poll came out the next day, and it also was showing that Cuomo had lower poll numbers. So who knows? The Prococo trial is really, it's really hard to read some of these quotes between Prococo and Todd Howe.
You don't like Zidi, Susan?
No, I love Zidi. Okay, I love both kinds of Zidi. But, the way they talk about people is really...
Well, you're getting basically a glimpse of the inner workings of these two people and how they communicated with each other, and it's in some ways not a very flattering picture.
No, one email exchange or one piece of testimony that I felt was really gave us a window into the Cuomo administration was when Howe said that he'll never forget a meeting at which the governor basically let loose on him, screamed at him for something that fell through. What happened?
No, my understanding wasn't it that if we're talking about the same thing, that the governor was very upset that a story appeared in the Syracuse newspapers, or was leaked to the Syracuse newspapers, that he was backing a new stadium in Syracuse, and the governor was apparently very furious about that.
Okay.
And the new
stadium was backed, I thought, by Cuomo.
Yes, that was the story that had been reported, and Cuomo was very upset that it appeared in the press. At least that's the way it was reported out of the trial. And that's interesting to me just because, having worked in this building and having dealt with the Cuomo administration, we know how they take certain stories in the print that they don't like seeing in the print. So,
what are you saying? Are you saying that they call people up and yell? Or?
They might be known to do that from time to time.
There is also bad blood between the mayor and the governor.
The mayor of
New York City, yes. Mayor de Blasio. And, of course, there was bad blood between the mayor of Syracuse,
yes.
A former mayor.
Who might still be running against the governor.
We'll
we don't
see.
Really know.
Right. Do we know when she's going to make that decision?
We do not.
Okay. So Mayor de Blasio and Cuomo have had this really difficult relationship for a while, but they seem to agree on the fact that Rikers Island needs to close down. So what is this week's argument about?
Well, on that issue, it's all a matter of timing. The governor and a lot of more progressive advocates want it closed far quicker. They say the conditions are horrible, which everybody agrees that the conditions at Rikers are very bad. But the governor and other more progressive activists on that front want it closed far quicker, within a couple of years. I think there's legislation in the Senate that would do it within 3 years. The mayor has come out with a plan to do it basically in about 10 years, and his argument is that they need time to basically have other facilities ready to take these inmates, and it takes time to do all this. And the governor is saying, no, if you wanted to get it done, you need to get it done more quickly. So that was a clash this week. And it's interesting, the mayor on Wednesday came out with an agreement, or had a press conference with the city council and reached an agreement on a plan to close Rikers in kind of that time frame, 10 years or maybe a little bit shorter. And that same day, just by coincidence, the State Commission on Correction came out with a scathing report.
It was, yeah.
Blistering the city's running of Rikers Island, and basically saying it was time to close it expeditiously, and hinted that the State Correctional Commission might take matters into its own hands and work to close it on its own.
That same report also was pretty had harsh words about four other county jails.
Named the worst worst offenders of jails in the state. I think Erie County was one of them.
Onondaga County. Green County. This is my brain over here. And Dutchess County, right. What's interesting is that the governor also has asked that the Commission on Corrections and docs actually take a more active role in making sure that the bad eggs of correctional officers who have done bad things can be terminated more easily. Mm-hmm. And NYSCOBA, the union, has said, no, this is not going to work. And so this is going to set up the governor and the Senate Republicans to have another battle.
Sure. And this comes on the heels of a report in my newspaper about a lawsuit against a correction officer who was accused of waterboarding an inmate. So, I mean, there's a lot of things swirling about here. And you're right. This will set up a showdown in the Senate as we head towards. Because that, what you're talking about was a 30-day budget amendment, one of many, many, many 30-day budget amendments the governor has come out with that are more policy-oriented, and that will have to all be negotiated as we head over the final, what is it, the next six weeks of the budget session here.
And the thing is, both Easter and Passover are just around the time when the budget would be put to bed.
Right.
And so they'll have less time this particular session to negotiate.
Well, it either means you'll have an early or
late
on-time budget or a very late budget.
A very late budget, exactly. The 30-day budget amendments, we only have about a minute or so, but anything really unusual come out there?
Well, I mean, there's just what he posted them online late last night, so we're still kind of digesting all this stuff. There is stuff in there about congestion pricing for the city that we're looking through. There's all the stuff that he announced during the week via press releases that we're still looking at.
And details on the payroll tax.
We knew he was coming out with a payroll tax. We knew it's an optional thing for businesses to do. As soon as he put out the press release, it seems the Senate Republicans basically said, no, we really don't think that's a good idea. We're not likely to go for that one.
No. And so, again, this doesn't look like it's going to be smooth sailing toward the end of March.
No, I mean, budget seasons are always difficult negotiations, but this one, there's a lot of things.
Plus, it's an election year.
Yes.
And there's no money.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. Glenn Blaine is a reporter for the New York Daily News. You can read his stuff at nydailynews.com. Thank you, Glenn.
Always a pleasure, Susan.
Support for the Capitol Pressroom is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.